Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The documentary film Buzkashi is a story of three fascinating characters who are at the top of their sport in Tajikistan, a former Soviet republic nestled in the Pamir Mountains. Donning their protective equipment, including tank helmets from previous wars, they steer their horses to join the hundreds of others playing on the plateaus of this mountainous country. The rivalries, alliances, politics, and intrigues surrounding the sport put ancient values of honor and integrity head-to-head with ego-driven hunger for power and wealth. The film is screening at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts tomorrow night at 7:30 as part of their winter-spring 2013 documentary film series, Compete. The series celebrates films about winning, losing, and how you play the game. Buzkashi is written and directed by Najib Mirza, and he joins us now. Najib Mirza, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
Before we speak about the film specifically, could you tell me a little bit about yourself? How did you become a documentary filmmaker?
My background in filmmaking is kind of a strange entry. I studied fine arts and economics in undergrad many years ago, but I pursued economics as my primary goal, or my primary vocation. But I was posted with the Canadian Embassy to Kazakhstan some years ago, and traveling across the region, I just fell in love with the place, and taking photographs, which I was continuing to doing in my part-time, wasn't adequate to capture the laughter and the sound of an old man walking and talking and so forth. So I really wanted to go one step further, and so purchased a video camera and made my first film while I was there, or as I was leaving my posting. And the four films I've made have been in that region. It's just an extraordinary area that really inspired me to try to share that with others in the West.
How did you choose the topics for the films?
The first one that we kind of stumbled upon, we got lost in a rural area and came across some amazing people who helped us, and that their story was the first one that I made in my first film. But there's so many stories in Central Asia that aren't known. It's just it's a crossroads of East and West. We talk about the Silk Road, but the Silk Road is, we talk about where it begins and where it ends, but we don't talk about the part in between. And so what we have in Central Asia is really that in between, where there's a collision or an integration of cultures, of peoples, of ethnicities, all that stuff that comes together. And for me, that's a really fascinating area. There's lots of things which are visually stunning for me, which are very inspiring. There's also a lot of stories about people and their resilience, and despite the layers and layers of changes that have had to endure over the years, there's a real warmth and a spirit which I really quite like about that region.
For those who don't know, as I didn't before watching the film, explain the game of Buzkashi to us. And before we talk about the significance, just tell us about how it is played, the nuts and bolts of the game.
If you can imagine rugby and polo thrown together, this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially 200 horses on the field, 200 players on horseback fighting over a headless goat. And they're played in large pastures with snow-capped mountains in the backdrop, so you can imagine it's quite visually stunning. And the rule is, the idea is to really get the goat across the goal line, and as competition is part of human nature, this is one of the expressions of it in sport.
Do they play to a certain number of goals, or is there a time limit?
Well, essentially, the game is based on the number of prizes that are available, and so depending on the sponsor and how many prizes they've put aside for it, that's when the last prize is handed out, that's when the game ends and everyone leaves the field. But depending on the circumstance and the context of the game, if it's a wedding where there's a wealthy sponsor who's got lots of things, or it's a state or a district government that's sponsoring it, then they often have larger prizes and the game can go on all day. Sometimes they have fewer prizes, but in fact what happens in the games is that they just have smaller prizes. So in the old days they would play for something like a handkerchief, but now you can get the grand prize these days can be a car or a camel.
You mentioned that it's visually stunning. The film is absolutely gorgeous. There's a lot of broad expanse of beautiful scenery to shoot that you capture marvelously, but there's also very tight sort of hectic, violent stuff in the game. How did you get your camera in for that stuff?
Filming Buzgashi was a really big challenge for us. First of all, it's played on large pastures with undefined borders. When we first started, it was just myself and a second cameraman. In fact, sometimes it was just myself, but we'd be waiting for the action to happen, but they'd be playing on the other side of the field. And we just see in the distance of, you know, the ship of a few horses, you know, that wasn't much to get a film. So we really needed to get into the intimacy, into the film, into the heart of the game, and to take an intimate look at what's actually going on. And for that, the timing was really good for us because it was just when the cheaper helmet cameras were coming out about 2 or 3 years ago. And so we got a few of those and put them everywhere we could find. We put them on the horses, we put them on the helmets of the players, we put them on the goat, we put them on the goalposts. We wanted to get as much of a close perspective as we could and just see it from various different angles. And that's primarily how we got right into the middle of the game. The second thing is that in a couple of games, we were able to bring in a cherry picker from the city, the ones they were using to wash windows high up in the buildings on, you know, the fourth or fifth stories. And that allowed us to have a perspective from right overhead to shoot from right above and to slow down in slow motion to see what's really going on, because it's really a fast game. If you don't know what's happening, if you don't know what's going on, it's really hard to follow.
And did you have to get permission from someone to film the games? And if you did, how did you go about getting that permission?
To start off the Buzgashi, we needed permission from the Federation of Buzgashi. The Federation, there's a chapter in each of the countries in Central Asia. So when I first started this many, many years ago, I started shooting, but then to get right into the stories, I met with the president of the association, asked him first of all for permission to do it, and he was, of course, very interested because there hadn't been a serious film about this except for home videos,
mm-hmm.
And he was really interested in having this shared with the rest of the world. At the time, he explained also that there was a lot of countries, including the United States, that were interested in joining the Federation. There are currently 9 countries, including Russia and China and the Central Asian states and Afghanistan. But he gave us the permission, and he gave us a starting point for the kinds of players that we could meet, and that led us to actually starting to interview some of the players and try to find out who might be good personalities for the film.
You do concentrate on 3 players. How did you select them?
It's been a long process to get to where we are in terms of the players. We lost our main character along the way. So the process was this. When I went to Tajikistan for the first time, what I did is I started asking around who each player that I met, who are the best players in the country, and then I would go and interview them and find out what their stories are, and then each new person I would meet, I would ask them who the best players are. So we just wanted to get an idea as to what the context is rather than just jumping on the first one that we meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing this. And when I met one of the characters, there's one of the characters is Khurshed. He's a wealthy player whose eye is on modernizing the sport. When I met him, I asked him who is the best player in the country, and he said, "I am."
Uh-huh.
With that kind of attitude, we have to explore this further. And truly, he turned out to be a wonderful antagonist to our protagonist. Our protagonist, it didn't turn out that way at the beginning. It just kind of evolved in terms of who, you know, what roles they took. But we initially had a character who was perfect. He had been a 10-year champion. He was absolutely huge and powerful, but he was like a little kid inside. He had 3 wives, and we started shooting with him for the first 6 months, and unfortunately we lost him. We lost him to a drug addiction, and so we had to find a new person.
Mm-hmm.
That extended the shooting by another year, but when we did find Azam, who is now the main character in this thing, we fell in love with him because he was just such an open and warm and inviting person, and he gave us access to his family and to the wives as well. He has 2 wives, 10 kids, and he maintains a very large household. But he was just very warm and very inviting, and whereas the other 2 that we have in the film gave us only limited access. We weren't allowed to shoot their families and certainly not their wives. It essentially evolved this way, is that by the time we met Azam, he became a natural into falling into the main character.
And that access to his family creates a very, you know, very interesting parts of the story where one of his sons doesn't want to take over the family business of being a shepherd, but hopes to study and become a doctor. And talking to the wives is very interesting, too. It's fascinating stuff.
For us, we didn't want to tell just a story about the sport. The sport itself, after 5 minutes, is really not that interesting. I mean, like anything, you can watch it if you really love it. But for an outsider, after watching it for a little bit, it's a sport.
Mm-hmm.
We really wanted to get into the human stories behind the characters, and you know, really, what this is all about is really a film about people. I'm hoping it comes across that way.
Uh-huh.
Not so much about the sport, and the sport turns into ideally just a backdrop and an entry point for us to talk about a human story.
What do you hope audiences take away from viewing the film?
Well, you know what? For me, I think the world is full of amazing stories, and we all have the same motivations and the same backgrounds. And I think, although sometimes we see something as really bizarre, something that's far away and foreign, I think what's really important for me is that eventually we recognize the commonality that we all have, and that there's a familiarity in the stories that we see, even though the context might be different. You know, there are weekend warriors everywhere, including in North America and the U.S., in Canada, and these are guys just like them. On the weekends, they take off with their horses and they play the. Are competitive and love sport just as we do over here.
There's a Q&A with you after the screening at Mass Mocha. Will you be in North Adams or are you Skyping in?
Nope, I will be there, and we're going to be handing out some posters and DVDs DVDs of other films as prizes. But I look forward, that's the best part, you know, the most fun part now that the film is done is really engaging with people and getting their reactions to this and having conversations, not just answering questions, but having conversations about what all this means.
Mass Mocha is one of my favorite places, so I hope you have a wonderful time there. And thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks very much. It's my first time to Mass Mocha, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Buzkashi will screen at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts, tomorrow night at 7:30. To learn more, visit massmocha.org. The film's website is oxusfilms.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.